Welcome to episode 48 of the Richard Runs Trails podcast. I'm your host, Richard, coming to you from Georgetown, Texas. Hope everyone's having a great weekend. It's been about a month and a half since my last podcast and a few weeks since my last video on YouTube. Some updates from me. I've just been a bit busy with work. I've also suffered some foot injuries, so I've mainly been riding my road bike for the last few weeks. So not much to report on my podcast or my YouTube channel, but I'm back in the swing of things. My feet are healthy. I'm still biking a lot. I've started running and trying to get ready for upcoming races. But first off, I wanted to talk a little bit about the podcast name change. I reported it on YouTube, I guess about a month ago, but it's been a while since a podcast. I changed my name of my YouTube channel and also my podcast from Mile 62 Trail Running Channel to Richard Runs Trails. Why did I do that? I just wanted to make it more personal. I had people calling me Mile 62 and didn't know my name, even though I mentioned my name several times. But I wanted to communicate better my name and also my purpose. Mile 62 is based on 100K, which is my favorite race distance. But still, it was in some ways confusing to some of my listeners or viewers. And also, I wanted not to give the idea that my podcast or my YouTube channel was only for people who run 100K and longer. It's not the fact at all. Actually, it's for all trail runners, whether or not it's 5K or 200 miles. So that's the reason I rebranded my YouTube channel, rebranded my podcast. And I like the new name, and I've got some good feedback on it. What have I been doing? About a month and a half ago, I was in Habanero 100. I had that's in Cache Springs, Texas. It's the hottest race in Texas. You know, it's 100 degrees most of the race. And I've done the 50K out there. I've done the 100K out there previous years, and I knew what to expect. And I've also run the 100-mile course, but I ran it in November. It was named the Jalapeno 100. So I knew, I've run that 10K loop 33, 34 times. So I knew what I was getting into. And then also I previewed the course a few weeks before, and I put that video on my YouTube channel. And I was ready for it. One thing that I noticed is they put more sand on the course. The course had a lot of sand before, but it has even more now. It made it even more challenging. For some reason, I had problems with my feet about 70K into the race and got really blistered, and it was about 1 in the morning. It's not uncommon for me to get some blisters on my feet, but they were pretty bad, and the speed in the race was, I was about an hour, probably an hour behind my schedule, and I would have been out there at least 29, 30 hours. And the idea of going through another day of daylight and the really hot heat, I just, you know, we always talk about you need to have your why you want to finish. And it was about 1 or 2 in the morning. I'd done 70K already. I really didn't have my why, so I called it quits. And I'm glad I did that. It would have been really tough to finish. I could have finished, but it would have been very painful, and I would have injured myself, my feet, even further. I mean, they were not just a few blisters. They were really blistered, and I'm not sure why, because I've run out there so many times, and I was prepared for the sand. I had my gaiters on. I was also wearing my Ultra Olympuses, the same socks I always wear. But for some reason, I got pretty blistered up, and the only thing I can think of is maybe it was because they added even more sand out there. It was just, there was sand everywhere. In previous years, there were some sections, but this year that there was even more. And if I had to do it all over again, which I don't plan to do, but I say that every year and I go back there because it's the only race that's really going on in August. But if I had to do it over again, probably every 50K, I'd need to change my socks. I've never changed socks in a race, 100 miler, whatever it is. But out there, for some reason, the sand just gets through the gaiters and got through my socks. And when I took my socks off, I had sand in it. So the sand is what really tore up my feet. So advice, if you're going to run the habanero 100K or 100 miler, change your socks often. I don't typically do that because it chews up a lot of time, because you got to take off your shoes, your gaiters, change your socks in a race. If I'm not having any problems, I don't change anything. But I think if you're going to run the habanero races, especially the 100K and the 100 mile, you need every 50K you need to change your socks, because you just can't keep the sand off your feet. At least I can't. I haven't figured out how to do it. I was wearing my Njinji toe socks, my Ultra Gators, and my Olympus 4s, and I've run 25-plus Ultras, never have a problem with that combination. But anyways, my bottom of my feet got blistered up. It wasn't my toes because I had the Njinjis on, but the bottom of my feet got pretty torn up. But I enjoyed myself. Brother and sister-in-law were out there, so it was a good experience, good training. And then a few weeks ago, I ran Arkansas Travelers, which is in Arkansas near Lake Ochita. It's about an 8-hour drive from where I live. And I knew that was going to be a tough race because it's in the Ozark, and these are real mountains. You know, when you talk about Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, northern Alabama, Arkansas, you're talking about real mountains. And I knew it was going to be about 16,000-17,000 feet of elevation. And I thought I was prepared for it. It was a really tough race. I made it through 57 miles and then had to drop out. The reason I had to drop out is because I came into the turnaround aid station only a few minutes before cutoff. They were going to let me go, but I would have had to go balls to the walls for the last 30 miles, and I was pretty beat up, and I really didn't have any time, you know, because it's at night. It was about 12 o'clock at night, and I wouldn't have any time to really eat anything in aid stations. I just had to, you know, fill up and blow through them. Otherwise, I wasn't going to make the cutoffs, because they had a cutoff station. They had a cutoff time for like the last eight aid stations. I had already gone through 3 aid stations, made the cutoff, and then they also have a red zone, which means that if you're in the red zone, you have a likelihood of not finishing, because they basically run the stats over the years, and they know where you need to be in the race. Now, going the last 30 miles is a lot of downhill, but I just didn't think I could do it without, because, you know, at night, at that time of night, usually the last 30 miles, especially during the middle of the night, you need to be eating noodles, mashed potatoes, you need to be eating real food. And I had been eating a little bit of real food, but I was behind on time. I was in the back of the pack, and I was only a few minutes under the aid. In the 2 aid stations before, I made it into the aid station with 40 minutes to spare. But then went 2 more aid stations, and I was only 3 minutes to spare, so I was losing time. And because I was having to do a lot of uphill stuff. I'll be more prepared for that race next year. I plan to go back. And beautiful race, great organization putting it on. Aid stations are just unbelievable. Especially the main aid stations. There's so much culture to the race because it's been going on for 25, 30 years. One of the oldest ultras in the U.S., highly recommend it. It's not the most exciting course, but it's pretty. I mean, it goes through the mountains. It's in the Ochita National Forest. But my learnings from the race was everything I had learned the previous few years. People always said you need to speed hike up inclines and mountains, and then, you know, jog and run down downhills. It doesn't work in that race. You'll get way behind on time because it's like the whole race is going uphill. You know, except maybe the last 30 miles, as I'm told. I didn't do the last 30 miles. But I need to jog all of the reasonable uphills. You know, maybe a few degrees of incline. Speed hiking won't work. You'll get behind on the cutoffs. So the cutoffs are pretty aggressive, but I think the race is doable because If I had been 1 hour faster in the first 57 miles, which I could have if I'd pushed a little harder, I thought I was being conservative and like I always am in 100 milers, but I was too conservative. It's the first time I've ever gotten in trouble on cutoff times. If I'd been 1 hour faster, I could have finished that race. And so next year I will finish it. Another thing that happened, one thing I'd learned in Habanero, eating real food. I eat a sandwich like every lap. And in Travelers, I did that also. I didn't almost eat no gels. I used to always carry the Goo Chews and eat a lot of gels. Very few, maybe only a handful. I'm having more luck with just taking salt tablets, eating some fruit, and real food. So I've kind of changed my strategy. In previous years, I didn't do that. It was kind of the opposite. I would only eat food at night, but now I'm eating it during the day too, and I'm having more success that way. But Travelers went no serious injuries, almost no blistering, and I made it 57 miles. I was just going too slow. Missed the cutoff time. I didn't miss the cutoff time, but with a few minutes to spare, there's no way I would have made the other cutoff times if I'd stopped to eat something. If I pushed hard and just blew through the aid stations, but I just couldn't imagine doing that for 30 miles without eating very much. Anyways, next year I plan to do it again, and I'm going to finish it. Great race. Highly recommend it. So what's on my radar now? Now that my feet are healed up, I didn't damage my feet in Travelers. I don't know what I did. I just stepped wrong. You know, people talk about that all the time. You know, you step off your porch or you wake up wrong and you bruise something. But I banged up my left ankle somehow, bruised it. Maybe I did it when I was deadlifting because I do weightlifting almost every day. I did something, but it bruised it and it wouldn't let me run for about a week. I could bike okay, no problem. Or I could have done it on the bike. I don't know. But I get some tingling in my toes. If you're a cyclist and if you had that problem before, I read it online. Some people say that, you know, you adjust your shoe. I adjust my shoe all the way back so that the middle of my foot is more over the pedal. And I've loosened the shoes a little bit. I know the shoes fit fine, but for some reason, when I get past like 50 miles when I'm cycling, I get the nerves in my toes get irritated and it gets a little painful. I have to stop and rest. But I read online that's a common problem with cyclists. But if you got any tricks on how to solve that problem, I'm even using thinner socks, adjusted my shoes, adjusted my shoes backwards on my clipless pedals, done everything. A little bit of improvement, but I still have that pain. It's just like clockwork. Once I get past like 45 miles on a ride, because I'd like to go out to like 60, 70, 80 mile rides, but it's just painful once I get past 45 miles. But if you got any tricks on how to alleviate that issue, let me know. Appreciate it. You can send an email to runnerrwe@gmail.com or just get a hold of me if you know how to get a hold of me. But anyways, I had new tires put on my road bike and been doing a lot more cycling because of the injury. And then I like cross training on the bike. So I try to get at least 50 miles a week and maybe a long ride. Now that I'm healed, I'll take the cycling miles down and running miles up. This is what I've got going on. I plan to do a race this weekend, but I decided against it. I'm just the COVID, you know, just more, I'm more careful about it. I was going to try to get the 400 mile buckle with Tejas Trails. I'm like at 270 miles, but I would have to do three or four races, small races, because I've got 100 mile races planned. Well, I had the Travelers, which is not Tejas Trails, so they didn't count against it. And then I've got Brazos Bend, which is the first week of December. It's 100 miler in Houston. That's trail racing over Texas, so that doesn't count against it. So I've kind of given up on it. I just kind of put it on the back burner. If for some reason, if Brazos Bend gets canceled, because it got canceled last year because of the pandemic, it's very close to the city of Houston. So if there's any risk at all, the city will cancel it. If it gets canceled, then I'll pile on some more Tejas Trail races and then maybe do 100K in December and try to go for the 400-mile buckle. But if not, I'll just do it next year. But getting ready for Brazos Bend, like I said, I start ramping up my road and trail miles, back off the cycling a little bit. You know, we're in the third week of October, so I've got about four and a half weeks of running, which I think will be plenty. I'll try to lose a few pounds that I gained while cycling. Lance Armstrong always said, you know, running is 3x, so 1 hour running equals 3 hours of biking. Well, I don't 3 hours of biking every day. I do on the weekend sometimes. If I do 50 miles, it'll take me about 3.5 hours. But usually I run 1 hour, it's 10K. And so anyways, it's hard to stay trim. And also when I'm injured, I tend to eat more. I just want to try to heal myself faster. Maybe that's screwed up logic, but I eat well. I mean, I eat good food, but I try to eat more, and I take on more protein and BCAA and vitamins. I take vitamins every day, but I really try to focus on recovering the injury. So I typically put on a few pounds doing that. But anyways, got to trim down some over the next month, over November and this last part of October, and then bring my miles up. I'd like to try to run at least 50 miles a week. Maybe a little bit more if I can. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But if I can do 50 miles a week, that's fine for me because I do cross training as well. And then going to Brazos Bend. That's a flat course, but it's a tough course because, you know, like Rocky Raccoon, the flat courses can be tough because if you don't really pace well, you can burn yourself up. And so I'll be prepared. The good news is it will be colder, a lot cooler. That's a lot easier on the body. And anyways, I'm excited about it. So that's the beginning of December. January, I'm not sure. I'd like to do Bandera 100K. I may register for it anyways. I've done it 5 years in a row. It's just one I like to do every year. I just don't know how beat up I'm going to get in Brazos Bend. I'll make a decision over the next week. I think I'm going to register for it anyways. Worst case, I can go out there and do the 50K. I enjoy that. That's my favorite race in Texas, and it's just kind of a tradition. I just like to do it every year. I registered for Run Love It, which is in February. You're probably thinking, are you fucking crazy? Everyone says that's twice as hard as Travelers. Yeah, it's also in the mountains of Arkansas. I think maybe on the other side of Lake Wichita. I don't know. The Wichita National Forest is huge. It's like goes over more than 100 miles. But it's got twice as much elevation gain. I just like to do it. I met one guy, Steven, ran with him some. And he's like, I tell him some of the races I did in Texas. And he's like, I never do those races. They're too boring. Like, I only do real mountain races. And I think what he said made a lot of sense to me, because I really enjoyed the Arkansas Traveler. I mean, it's really real forest. I mean, not knocking the Texas races, but, you know, a lot of times in Texas, we're just doing a 10-mile loop or 20-mile loop. It's real forest, but we don't have these really big mountains like, you know, they do out there. So it was kind of nice. It kind of reminded me when I used to run in California, because I lived in Bay Area for 2 years. Actually, that's where I started ultra running. My first ever ultra ever was a Skyline 50K, which is north of Oakland. Very tough course. I ran a lot of 50Ks in the Bay Area. And then when I moved out to Texas, started doing longer races. And anyways, excited about Run Love It. It starts at a resort and finishes at a resort. Goes through a lot of the same type area that Arkansas Traveler, but it's a different course, different mountains. And the nice thing is they give you 34 hours to finish, whereas Traveler only give you 30 hours. However, that really means it's probably a lot harder, and that's what everyone says it is. But I know some people that have finished, and I think I'm kind of on par with them. So I think it's very doable for me. I'm going to be doing a lot more hill training. I don't have mountains, but I have very big hills in my neighborhood. I just avoid most of them when I run and bike. I mean, my neighborhood is so hilly where I live, my subdivision, that it's easier to run than to bike. So that gives you an idea of the hills. I avoid some of them, have in the past, but I'm going to start adding them into my route. So my time, my pace times will come way down, but my elevation that I run every day will go up. And I think that will help me a lot in these mountain races, because I'm just not getting enough elevation. Because I need to jog these, you know, if it's 4%, 5%, great. I need to jog them. You know, it gets up to 8, 10%, you know, I'm estimating. But it really, in these mountain races, unless it's pretty steep, you can't speed hike them. I mean, you can't speed. I mean, there's mountains in Arkansas races that go up for like 2 or 3 miles. You can't speed hike the whole things. And I learned the hard way on that. That's how I got behind on time. You might figure, well, you got like 17 minutes a mile, but if you go into aid stations, you spend time and do too much speed hiking, you're going to get behind. Now, Run Lovett, they're giving you 34 hours, so I think it's about 20 minutes a mile, but I'm going to try to bank time in the first half of the race. So I'm going to jog the not too difficult inclines. That's my plan. Learn my lesson in the first Arkansas Traveler. So I've got that race in February, and the rest of the year I haven't booked any more races. I'd like to do the Arkansas Traveler again in October. So 2 races in Arkansas next year. I'm not sure about my other races. I'll keep you up to date on that. Bandera in January, Run Lovett in February. And then March, April, May, I'm not real sure. I might do a Texas race. I might go out of state. Because, you know, I said next year I'd like to do more races in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama. More races. I've never done a race out there. I really want to do Penhody, which is in northern Alabama. But that's in November, so I won't be able to do it next year if I'm doing Arkansas Travelers. But if I don't get in Arkansas Travelers, I might do that. Or I might do No Business 100. I want to do that one also. It's really, I've seen many videos about it, heard good things about it. That one's in Tennessee. So those are my 2 backups if I can't do Arkansas Travelers. Well, Arkansas Travelers only has a couple hundred people in the race. So, it you know, it fills up and closes out. So, I mean, it's not like I have a Lena 100 where there's 1,000 people. And that's another race. It's another backup race. That one's also going to be beginning of November next year. I'm excited because I've done that race twice and finished it once. First time I made 82 miles that had back problems. But this year, I think it's next weekend, this year they're going to broadcast it on YouTube just like UTMB and the other race that IRA Vipo Racing did. So I think it's going to be really great in how they broadcast it on YouTube this year. So I want to be part of that next year. That's a backup race. Unfortunately, all 4 of those races are about the same time. So my first pick will be Arkansas Traveler, and then I have backups. But I'm not real sure what I'm going to be doing in the rest of the spring. In the summer, I'm not sure if I'll be racing anything. I don't know. I maybe do the night series. I think I'm going to avoid Habanero next year. I just don't enjoy it anymore. And we'll see how it goes. And but enjoying my training. Sorry I haven't sent a podcast out in a while, but I'll try to keep up with it. Let me know how things are going for you. If you'd like to be on a podcast or participate in one of my videos on my YouTube channel, send me an email, runnerrwe@gmail.com. Please check out my YouTube channel. It's Richard Runs Trails on YouTube. It should be exciting weekend for me. I'm going to go running in a minute. And maybe biking tomorrow. Not real sure. But enjoy your weekend. Hope you have fun out in the roads or the trails or whatever you plan to do. But whatever you plan, just make sure you get out and do something epic. Don't stay at home. Don't watch TV. Get out and do some training. Have a great day. Bye for now.